You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Welcome back, folks. This is Columbia Calling, the first episode of the year 2018. A happy new year to all of you out there listening to this podcast. So upwards, onwards, and forwards we go into 2018. A couple of weeks in now. Yes, I know I've been off the radar over Christmas and New Year, but we all deserve a little break over these things. And those of you who follow me on social media will know that I went back to the motherland for almost a month. That was the first time in 3 years that I'd been back, and the first time for my little boy, my little 2.5-year-old boy, to go to England. So we spent most of the time in London, a little bit of time in Brighton, enjoyed some pretty foul weather, but, you know, Christmas in the cold weather, Christmas in somewhere like London with the windows dressing and so on and so forth is pretty special. And so, I mean, we had a good time, but I am happy to be back here in Bogota, happy to be back at my desk, at the microphone, and chatting to you guys. So I've done a little bit of research, and while I say Happy New Year to all of you out there, my hat goes off to Stuart Oswald episode, just a few episodes ago, the most listened to episode for Columbia Calling for 2017. So it's about Hitler living in Colombia. So check it out. It's only about there from November 21st. So it's not long ago. We had him on talking about the conspiracy theory. So does this mean that I have to focus more on conspiracy theories to get more of you to tune in and listen? I don't know. I think onwards and upwards. And I'm checking the stats that we get here at Columbia Calling, more than 200 downloads a day of the 214 podcasts. So really, it's, you know, almost every episode is downloaded once a day. So it's pretty cool. You know, this is a niche market. I don't aim to change the world with this, just provide a little bit of an interesting angle on Colombia here, you know, from my desk, from my vantage point as a foreign correspondent and travel writer and dog's body in just about everything here to do with Colombia. So, and before I get into the crux of what's going on in 2018, this is just a one-off show again, just to start the year. This is a welcome to 2018. Please, those of you who know that we've worked on a book, some designers from a great design company called Chalo Chalo, and of course my friends at 5bogota.com, they do experiences here in Bogota for tourists and of course for Bogotanos, Colombians, if you want, a cooking class, salsa classes, etc., etc. So, you know, check out our book because we put a lot of work into it last year. It's called Bogota Through the Five Senses. It's available in most independent bookstores in Bogota in print. It's bilingual, so that'll be in English and in Spanish. And it gives you an idea of different, districts within the capital and a suggested walking route. So it's like the first walking tour book for Bogota. Now, we have also created this in an ebook format that's available on Amazon for less than what it would cost you to buy a coffee and a donut at Starbucks. So you can get the keys to the city, really, keys to walking the city. So we've dealt with Chapinero in two chapters. We've dealt with the Candelaria. We've dealt with Quinta Camacho. We've dealt with Usaquén, Teusaquillo Parkway. So we've covered a lot of ground in Bogota to give you just a better insight into the city. So check out the ebook. It's on Amazon. Just put in Bogota Through the Five Senses or Five Senses Bogota. Of course, you can find that online as well and on Facebook. But it's on Amazon and very cheap and really nice artwork. And of course, I hope you enjoy the writing too. The ebook is, of course, only available in English, but please check it out. Help us out. Help out some indie writers, indie publishers, and indie designers. You know, that's what we need to be doing here. And, you know, off the back of this kind of garage style podcast that you guys tune into week in, week out. And to that, I am very, very grateful. So Well, where to start? It's 2018. It's a big year in Colombia. It's a big year in South America, of course. We've got Brazilian elections. We've got Mexican elections. And, of course, notwithstanding, there will be elections in Venezuela. And there will be elections in Colombia. May, we will have the presidential elections. And don't doubt for one moment that everything is going on behind closed doors, at people's fingers across the country, even overseas, organizing the elections. There's a whole lot of wheeler-dealer activity going on, and we'll see how that unravels over time. Of course, we'll be keeping a close eye on it here, and I hope to be reporting for the international press, maybe some radio, maybe some TV on that. So let me think my six points for the upcoming months here in Colombia. So we've got the elections in May. What does this mean for President Santos, our current president? So he's only got about another 7 months at the moment. His approval rating, President Santos's approval rating, oscillates between 20% and 23%. That's pretty low, especially for a president who has overseen, you know, it's pretty much a peace accord. You know, got them out of weapons. That's the FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. But put that into context, Andrés Pastrana, who was the guy who was the president who oversaw the the demilitarized zone of San Vicente Caguan, bigger than Switzerland, and you go to the FARC, it's where they could then hold peace talks between 1998 and 2002 there, where it became a FARC de facto state where they were able to retrain, rearm, re-everything. Anyway, Pastrana ended on 20%. So if you see Pastrana, former President Pastrana, mouthing off about President Santos, and he is wont to do so, remind him that he ended on 20%. So depending on what opinion poll you read, President Santos is anywhere between 20 and 23. What we see is, of course, there's no problem. The problem is that there seems to be no way that President Santos can improve his standing. I guess it's one of those sort of history will absolve me type things. Of course, you understand my reference to Fidel Castro's book there. He has a Nobel Prize to his name, a Nobel Peace Prize to his name, this is Santos, and has effectively ended the armed conflict with the FARC. And the ELN is locked in peace dialogues, albeit unconvincing ones. I mean, you'd think his approval rating would be higher, but no, it's not. What more can we see? Well, point three is here in Colombia, we're moving away from the conflict, but moving on to something particularly important, is the sort of taxes, VAT and taxes. All sectors of the industry are complaining about Colombia's high taxes. We've got 19% VAT, which is very high. I mean, it should be around 16%. And if you take it as a whole, 72% of what you produce, what you earn, is object or subject to possible taxes. That's higher than all of our neighboring countries, higher than most OECD nations, which seems pretty odd that we should be punished as organized people. Those who are organized to pay their taxes seem to be audited willy-nilly. We were audited at the Casa Maria last year, but we have everything in line, so we were fine. We weren't fined or anything. But it seems that they come down hard on all of us who are formally registered and formally catalogued before the DIAN, and they don't come down on those who aren't registered. So, I mean, my suggestion is we'll find those people evading the taxes and go after those people. Of course, give us a slap on the wrist if we're doing something wrong, but paying taxes, there's such a low rate of tax payment here that something needs to be done. So that's one thing that needs to be dealt with, and of course that will come up, as much will the peace accords, in this campaign season for the presidential elections. Taxes and peace, and of course corruption will be another key issue as we watch the Odebrecht scandal unravel across the rest of Latin America. Colombia seems to be, as I've said before, business as usual. Now, if we talk about the economy here, it's all tied in, isn't it? Growth in 2017 was 1.8%. That was lower than they estimated. Estimates for 2018 is going to be around 3% growth, but I suspect that that will be, I think that will be lessened over the course of the year when we see consumer confidence, and of course elections will have effects on that. When we talk about positive sides of things, let's say to point five, if we're talking about what could be positively spun in the election run-up, are those people who are working with or for or in favor of the peace accords with the FARC. Take this into account. They will be taking this into account. In 2002, there were 2,713 deaths in the Colombian conflict. In 2016, so 14 years later, there were 210 deaths. So that was after the let's say bilateral ceasefire. That's a 92.2% reduction in the 14 years. That's a huge amount to have dropped. And we're still in conflict. There are still warring factions across Colombia. It remains to be seen, of course, if deaths by BACRIM and what do you call them, newly emerged criminal gangs are counted into these statistics. I'm sure the government is very capable of fudging these figures, but equally so, let's think of a further 2,500 potential families who have not lost. I mean, it's a bit of a tenuous link, but 2,500 families who have not lost loved ones in this conflict, either from either side. Big things coming up. Point six, on the 15th of January, the new judges for the Justicia Especial de Paz will be sworn in. So that's a huge deal. And that's how you will see and feel every day how the peace agreement starts to unfold and what was agreed. It will start becoming evident what was agreed in December to get the Justicia Especial de Paz passed through Congress. So there'll be a whole lot of deals that will have been struck. And of course, that the situation, the original deal was probably diluted somewhat. In fact, I say it was definitely diluted somewhat in order to push it through and make it law. So we'll see. Talking about the elections, because I mean, honestly, there will be no other talking point really this year. So let's take a look at some of the sides of this election. So taking a look at this election, we should be thinking about, well, which sides we have lining up. So on the right-hand side, the conservative side, we have Marta Lucía Ramírez, Alejandro Ordóñez, and Iván Duque. So Marta Lucía Ramírez is in charge of the conservative party, very old traditional party. Alejandro Ordóñez is, he's the former procurador, and he's running on his own billet, but he's very, very, family values, and he has an evangelical Christian running mate. And Iván Duque, who is the nominated person for presidency, to run for the presidency for the Centro Democrático, so the Democratic Center, so someone who is of the Uribista bent. Very interesting there, but we'll be seeing if they create a joint run. Are they going to get together? Are they going to find a different type of... Well, one suspects it will be a type of coalition that will come up and come forward with these guys. I mean, that's quite exciting to see. But who will be the guy then nominated to run for the presidency? Who will be the person out of Marta Lucía Ramírez, Alejandro Ordóñez, or Iván Duque? My money would be with Iván Duque from the Uribista bent, who's actually saying not my politics at all, but he's saying some reasonably coherent things, especially about taxes, especially about the peace accord. So expect him to be up and running. Of course, we've got Germán Vargas Lleras, who we would think is in the running, but at the same time, we've not seen anything of him of late. I guess he's looking for who might be backing him, but he doesn't seem to be keen on any sort of coalition. Germán Vargas Lleras, the former vice president, member of the Cambio Radical, Radical Change Party, and of course, an Uribista himself. So that would be interesting if the conservative side, Iván Duque, Alejandro Ordóñez, and Marta Lucía Ramírez, take votes from Germán Vargas Lleras, or vice versa. The other guys sort of floating around out there are Juan Carlos Pinzón, the former Minister of Defense, and he's talking about potential alliances, coalitions with others. So that's sort of one side of things. And then, of course, if we look at the center-left, you've got Clara López, This is the ASSI party, and she's waiting until this year to see if she creates a coalition with Gustavo Petro, which he's of the Colombia Humana campaign. And Gustavo Petro is, of course, the first. He was the alcalde, the mayor of Bogota, very unpopular, but popular in some sections, and actually doing very well in opinion polls. But we've learned over 2017, and 2016, I think, not to take too much for granted when it comes to opinion polls. Gustavo Petro would be, you know, a former guerrilla. If he would come to the presidency, that would be quite a monumental step forward. Although he's such a petulant person, I don't know if people could see him as a figurehead. Humberto de la Calle, who's the leader of the Liberal Party. Now, he was the chief negotiator for the talks between the FARC and the government there in Havana, Cuba. He was there the whole time, keeping a level head. He's originally from the coffee zone, and he was vice president and runner-up against Ernesto Samper all those years ago. And he's the only person in the whole cabinet, let's say, the Ernesto Samper. Yes, it's worth noting, of course, he was the only one, Humberto de la Calle, to come out of that unscathed. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And during all of this issue of the narcotráfico in those 1980s. So Humberto de la Calle there too, that's one side. He's, of course, thrown out the possibility of an alliance with Clara López and Gustavo Petro. And, of course, we've got Carlos Caicedo, who will be and also ran from Fuerza Ciudadana. But if it represents some votes, who knows? Who knows how these coalitions, these alliances might unfold. Now, there's something called the Coalición Colombia, which is conformed, it's made up of the Polo, the Alianza Verde, and the Compromiso Ciudadano. So at the moment, it's Fajardo, Sergio Fajardo, the former mayor of Medellin and the former governor of Antioquia. He's leading that. And he wants to, you know, just go all the way around the country with other people who are aspiring to his position to increase their presence in the legislative branch here. So in this base, Fajardo is hoping to, maybe win the presidency in the first, first vote in May. I doubt. Anyone will win outright in May. I think we'll go into a second round in June. Of course, we've got Pilar Córdoba. She's never far from the headlines. And Frank Pearl, interestingly enough, who was a very important minister. Pilar Córdoba, of course, controversial in her shape, way, and form of acting in politics, of course, with her, let's say, approximations of the FARC guerrilla group in the last few years. It's very interesting. I mean, Colombia is facing an incredibly difficult year ahead, but at the same time, it's a year which could be just outrageously successful if the right things come through. I'm not indicating any personal preference for politicians gaining the presidency. The person who wins, hopefully, is the person who is right for the country at this time. We've got to be bullish on Colombia. Colombia has made huge steps forward in this last year or so. Last 10 years, last 15 years. I mean, I correct myself on that. Colombia really has come forward. So for the time being, I will just keep flogging my guidebook to Bogota through the five senses. And please watch this space, because we will be thinking always about how and whom to interview this 2018. How do we want the show to progress? Will you keep tuning in? And at the same time, I shall finish up the Brat Guide to Colombia, so expect that on your shelves sometime later in the year. I am the updating author to that, and hopefully we'll be on TV and radio, as is the norm. And I'll be also spending 6 months in the Estación de la Sabana in central Bogota researching for my doctoral dissertation. So again, a lot of projects on our plate here, and hopefully everything can flourish and become something very successful. But as I say, this is Columbia Calling, and I'm trying to keep it fresh and keep it new and talk to you from different perspectives. I've got a few people in the pipeline jostling to be on next week's show. It's all about whether we have time, we have the space, but there's also always the will. And if you know or hear of anyone who you think might want to be on the show or who might be appropriate or is doing something interesting, well, let me know. That's columbiacalling@gmail.com. At the same time, let me say this is a really heartfelt thank you to all of you out there. You know who you are, the ones who tweet, retweet, send me messages, send me emails, or stop me in the street if you know who I am. It means a lot to me. It really does. Your feedback means a lot to me, and I hope to be able to feature each and every one of you at some point or another here on the Columbia Calling podcast, or at least give you a shout out. I've still got a few hats remaining. I have a couple already itemized for people overseas. You know, again, there's one be heading down to Australia. In fact, I might send two on down to Australia to two very avid listeners down there. So we'll see how this all continues. Again, thank you very much. This is episode 214. That's the first episode of this new year to 2018. How very exciting that we should be here so many years in and you guys should be listening. Okay, again, before you leave, do check out Amazon, Bogota Through the Five Senses, an ebook, or in independent books, bookstores across Bogota. Thank you for listening. I've been Richard McCall. This has been Columbia Calling. I'll be back next week with an interviewee chatting about all things Columbia. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.